time to talk football. It's time to talk Dons. It's North Sound One's Red Friday.
A very good evening. Welcome to Red Friday, your best look ahead at the weekend sport with a major focus on the Dons from Andrew Shiney, Dave Galloway and myself, Dave McDermott. In tonight's show, following the disappointments of Wednesday evening, it's a home clash against Kilmarnock tomorrow afternoon. We'll also take a look at the still vacant Scotland manager position, the rest of the weekend action, and of course we'll have, as ever, the predictor. Dave, it wasn't just the result that was disappointing at Ibrox, was it?
No, Derek McInnes tells us keeper Joe Lewis will be unavailable for some time.
Good news and bad news in terms of he hadn't broken his leg. Initially, that was the biggest fear coming away from the game on Wednesday night, but we managed to get some comfort that that wasn't the case once he'd been to the hospital. Downside is, having had the MRI scan last night, it's Joe's going to need an operation on his knee. He's got cartilage damage and it's a significant injury to his knee, so he'll be ruled out for the foreseeable future. Too early to say how long he'll be out for, but obviously it's disappointing. And he'll go for surgery to start next week, and then we'll have a better idea how long he'll be out for.
So no Joe Lewis, he's joining us on Red TV tomorrow, but that's a small consolation. It was an awful moment as well, and we did fear the worst of in the initial stages.
Yeah, when we saw what had happened, you did think, you know, the speed that the medics got on there and, you know, the signals coming back from the incident didn't look good at all, but delighted to hear that he hasn't broken his leg, although there is that significant cartilage damage to Joe's knee. So Danny Rogers will step into the breach, and it will be a big occasion for him, of course.
Absolutely, and we'll know tomorrow who is going to be on the bench. It'll be either one of the two youngsters, Archie Mayer at 16 and Dave Craddock, the Irishman. But Joe, such an important player for the Dons and popular amongst the whole squad.
Yeah, he certainly is. Shay Logan, for one, he really feels for the big man.
It's a real shame because he's, you know, definitely one of our top performers week in, week out. Having played with him for the last couple of seasons, he's a great keeper to have behind you, you know, talking. But it's one of the things that happens, and, you know, it'll give Danny Rogers a chance now to, you know, step up and show the manager, you know, what he's about, because we see him in training, he's a good keeper, he's a very good keeper. He's had really good stints at Falkirk. So He knows the business and he knows what he needs to do. It'll be a special time for tomorrow, making his debut. You know, it was his debut the other day, but this will be his home debut and his first start for Aberdeen in a competitive game. So I'll have all the praise for Danny, because he's a tremendous player and he's a great guy. So hopefully he gets a result tomorrow and it kicks off his Aberdeen career with a win.
Andrew, a lot of criticism after the game, but I think some of it misplaced. Okay, we did create a lot of chances, which we didn't take. We unfortunately found both Wes Fotheringham and Tavernier in tremendous form at the back, and it was one of these games. Did Rangers want it more? The middle of the park, I think, is where the game was lost.
Yeah, I think Sean Goss was very impressive in his Rangers debut. I thought he didn't waste the ball. He looks to have a good range of passing and a decent set piece delivery. Jason Holt, captain for the night for Rangers, was very impressive in there, and the Dons just didn't get to grips with that vital area of the field. But, you know, had we got a goal towards the end, you sense that Rangers could be got at. But as you rightly said, Wes Fotheringham produced a number of outstanding saves. I think getting in the road of things more than, you know, positional brilliance or anything like that. And Tavernier, I mean, I'd never rated him as a defender at all, but in that final quarter of an hour or so, he defended as though his absolute life depended on it, and did well. But that's in the past now. I'm sure at training yesterday it was got out of everyone's systems, and today it's all about looking forward, and that's the way you've got to approach it.
Yeah, and a lot of the criticism, Dave, is out of frustration, because we all wanted to win that game so much, and I think it is very frustrating, and it makes it an awful long journey journey back home?
Yes, well, it was a heck of a long journey back home for me. I deliberately, after the game, avoided looking at Twitter because I knew that certain people would be coming out of the woodwork with some over-the-top criticism. As for all the flack that's flying around, Shay Logan says he's frankly not bothered by what the critics say.
Everybody's got their own opinion, everyone's got, you know, it's football is about opinions, one person's against the other, but at the end of the day, it's the manager's opinion and the player's opinion in the changing room that everybody, you know, in the team looks at. So we know where it went wrong on Wednesday night, and we look to better that on Saturday.
Off the field, Andrew, transfer news. Well, let's look at Scott McKenna. First of all, there's now Nigel Atkins, who was at the game on Wednesday. Hull have had a third derisory bid turned down, but Derek's, you know, the club has made it crystal clear. He's just signed a new 4-year deal, and Scott's made it crystal clear he realises he's still got an awful lot of developing to do.
Yeah, and I think we spoke about it on Wednesday evening on Red TV that, you know, it sounds great, you know, it moved down south, but look at the managerial turnover down south at the moment. You seem to get six games, and if you haven't won them all in your top four of the Premiership, you're out the door, sort of thing. And, you know, it's such a fluctuating scenario down there. You don't really want to be getting involved in that in the early stages of your career, because you could sign there and for one manager, and within 2 weeks find you've got another manager who doesn't rate you at all, and you could end up being shoved away into the doldrums. So I think Scott McKenna's is a very level-headed, sensible young man. He realises that the best career path for him is learn his trade at Aberdeen, and then in 3 or 4 years' time, if he's a Scotland international, he'll get an even better deal than a potential move to Hull.
Yeah, eventually I think the sky's the limit for young Scott. He really has taken on the challenge with both hands.
Yeah, he certainly seems to have it all, but, you know, totally agree with what Andrew's just said there. He needs to learn his trade and improve, and he's at the best possible place to improve and develop. And as for Dennett McInnes's opinions, well, let's hear his take on that third bid being turned down.
Sometimes clubs have to be seen to be trying to get players, and, you know, I totally understand that, and, you know, I recognise that people will be, there'll be plenty of admirers of Scott McKenna and a lot of my players, but, you know, I can't stress enough, he won't be sold in January. So, as I say, clubs can bid all they want, but he's staying with us. You know, Scott's relaxed about it and comfortable with it. And while there's been a third bid and it's the increments have been increased, if he reached certain targets and all the rest of it, it's not really anything that would entertain us anyway, even out with this window. But for this window, it doesn't matter what comes in, he's staying as an Aberdeen player.
Well, one man who did put pen to paper is the Hamilton captain, Michael Devlin.
Yes, a good signing for Aberdeen. I think when you spoke to him, he said he's looking forward to coming back to Pittodrie because he did spend 18 months as part of the youth programme.
He was part of the Peter Weir Glasgow school originally.
Yeah, but a player who at a comparatively young age has captained his club. He's got nearly 150 games under his belt. A very good prospect for the future.
And he scored the only goal for Hamilton in that when we demolished them. Yes. 21-0 in corner kicks, but we lost the game.
Yeah, absolutely. That was just one of those absolutely freakish nights. He certainly has been a thorn in Aberdeen's side. We'll hear from Mikey himself in a moment, but the gaffer says he's delighted to have got his man.
We spoke with Mikey a few weeks ago, and we made a pitch about where we saw him peeing here. It was more for next season, obviously, in light with his injury, and it's not a position that we've seen as a priority for now, but we managed to find an agreement with Hamilton to get Michael up with us, and he'll now continue his rehab with us for the rest of the season. Hopefully see him in a red shirt before the end of the season. But I think to get the Hamilton captain, someone who we've always been attracted to, is good size, good age, good type, and yes, injuries are part and parcel of the game. He's had to overcome that, and he will with this injury as well, but I think he'll be a brilliant signing for us. Just delighted that we've managed to get him.
as soon as I was aware that there was interest there, I was hugely excited about the prospect of coming back here. The manager spoke to me, said that, you know, he had kind of big plans for both myself and the club if we could make it happen, and that was enough. You know, he was really, really positive and really encouraging, and I think at this stage of my career it was a fantastic move, and couldn't wait to get the opportunity to come back here. Another couple of months hopefully and I'll be kind of ready to go. February, March time was the kind of estimated return to play, so I'll continue to work hard and looking forward to teaming up with the medical staff here, and I've had a chat with them, and I'm really confident that they'll get me back in good shape and ready to play for the club again. So no, just really, really eager to get started and get working hard and get myself back in the pitch.
Michael Devlin there speaking to Red TV, and another man who may be making his debut tomorrow, probably from the bench, you would imagine, is Chidi Nwankwo.
Yeah, I mean, I think international clearance has still to be completely ratified, but Derek McInnes is hopeful that that'll all be taken care of today and he can feature in the squad. I think it's most likely that he would be on the bench to begin with if he does feature, but there's an under-20 game down at Brechin against Motherwell on Monday, and that could be an opportunity for him to show what he's all about. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him in action, because from what I've heard, he's quite a feisty kind of player.
Yeah, he certainly, obviously saw him out in Dubai, and he certainly got more than warmly welcomed by his new teammates, and I think he'll be an exciting addition, Dave.
Yeah, he seems a class act. Listening to what the manager was saying when he was out in Dubai, he certainly seems to have a lot of attributes in his locker. Derek, he's confident that the Nigerian midfielder will be eligible to play tomorrow.
He'll be available tomorrow, subject to international clearance, so that's still not being confirmed, international clearance, but we're hopeful that we can maybe get that at some point through the course of the day. But all the kind of rigmarole and all the hoops we've had to jump through, we've managed to get all that completed satisfactory.
This is Red Friday with Dave McDermott, Dave Galloway and Andrew Shiney. And, you know, after we've shown it so often in the past, a bad result, we invariably have managed to come back, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, the resilience of the squad, the character that's there can't be questioned. But it's going to be a tough game tomorrow. Kilmarnock are in a decent vein of form. Steve Clarke has completely revitalised, almost changed the look of Kilmarnock altogether in terms of performances that he's getting out of them. They've suddenly managed to start winning home games. They haven't been defeated away from home since Clarke took over, and they've been at Celtic Park and Ibrox in that run, so there are going to be no pushovers, where in the past we've looked at Kilmarnock games as well, that's another win, that'll make it 15 wins in a row against them, but tomorrow will be a much tougher assignment.
Absolutely, and as we say, we've got a good record of bouncing back.
Yeah, we certainly do. You know, Aberdeen need to show the character, and I'm sure they will tomorrow, because, you know, as the manager says, you know, Aberdeen simply on Wednesday night, they didn't do themselves justice at Ibrox.
We felt we could have showed a lot more of ourselves. We were up against a good team and Rangers played well for spells in the game. We were guilty of, I think, allowing too many crosses into our box. Guilty of not keeping good possession of the ball, and guilty of not taking more chances. So normally when you're guilty of, you know, two or three things like that, then you don't get the desired result, and that was unfortunately for us. But, you know, I said before the game, if we'd won the game, there's still work to be done. It's not going to decide anything. If we lose the game, it's the same. You know, we've got work to be done here. And the next challenge is Kilmarnock, who are in good form. I don't think they've lost a game since we beat them down there. And they'll come here in confident mood. They've had their feet up this week while we've been playing at Ibrox, so they'll have that energy, and we've got to make sure that we meet the challenge head on, and we need to help everybody. We need the supporters right behind the team. You know, I think everybody's got a part to play to get right behind the players, and still loads to play for this team.
You're listening to North Sound One's Red Friday with Andrew Shiney, Dave Galloway and myself, Dave McDermott. Dons face Kilmarnock at Pittodrie tomorrow afternoon. Andrew, who's your one to watch?
I'm not 100% certain that he'll start the game, but I think Niall McGinn's the one to watch tomorrow. We've seen two little cameo appearances so far from him since returning to Pittodrie, and the old skills are still there. There's no question at all about that. I just wonder whether Derek might say, right, we'll have an hour of Niall and then take him out of the game, or will it be, we'll stick him on for the last half hour, but I think his skills certainly could make the difference between winning or losing tomorrow.
Dave?
I'm going to go for Graeme Shinney being captain. He, of course, directs things on the pitch. He'll lead by example tomorrow as the Dons look to put things right after that desperately disappointing defeat at Ibrox on Wednesday.
OK, well, we've heard from the Aberdeen camp. Let's get the pre-match views now of Killyboss, Steve Clark.
We've had good work in training. We're ready to go. Expecting a tough game up there. It's always difficult against Aberdeen. Derek's Aberdeen team have got a great record against Kilmarnock in recent years, so we'll have to be at our very, very best to get anything out of the game.
The positive thing for you when you look back here is that as much as the last game against Aberdeen was a disappointment for you, the team haven't had too many of those type of performances when you've been here.
No, I think we responded well to what was a disappointing 45 minutes. It was the first half was poor. It was probably as poor as we've been since I got here. We spoke about it. The players reacted very, very well to it, and we've had a good run since. So we look to continue that at the weekend.
Big news, or the other big news this week, of course, Andrew, was the failure to appoint Michael O'Neill as the new Scotland manager. He stinked boot with Northern Ireland.
Yeah, not altogether surprisingly. I mean, he's been offered a very, very good deal by the Northern Ireland FA, and he's decided to stick with them, which was entirely his prerogative. But I just don't think the SFA handled things particularly well. It would appear they threw all their eggs into one basket. It's taken them an awful long time to try and get someone to replace Gordon Strachan, and to be honest, I think you and I know as much about this, who's going to be the next Scotland boss, as they do.
I think so, and we need to get somebody in before these cracking encounters with Israel and Albania.
Hod me back. Can you tell my enthusiasm? Yeah, no, I mean, it's rapidly turning into a farcical situation. We just heard from Steve Clark a moment ago there. We also asked him what he thinks of the Scotland situation.
You get quoted because I'm up here, I'm in the public eye up in Scotland. I was asked about it 12, 13 weeks ago when I came to Scotland. Came here to work for Kilmarnock. I'm happy here just now. It's going to be a great job for somebody. But I'm sure the SFA have already got a list of candidates, people that they're going to speak to and try to get the job, and hopefully they'll choose the right one.
Would it be something perhaps one day in the future that would appeal to you, imagine Scotland?
I think Maurizio Pochettino came out with a fantastic quote when he was asked about the Real Madrid speculation. He just said, the football world takes you where the football world wants to take you. So in the future, you never know.
Steve Clark there. And former Scotland boss Craig Brown, meanwhile, says he felt that O'Neill may well have stayed where he was.
He'd been offered a very lucrative long-term deal, but, you know, I'm a bit biased. I think the potential of Scotland is and should be better than that of Northern Ireland. But he's done well at Northern Ireland. He's comfortable there, and it's quite understandable that he wants to stay.
How big a blow is this to Scotland? Because it's been obvious for some months that Michael O'Neill was the preferred candidate.
Yes, it's a major blow, I would assume, to the Scottish FA, and now we're going to find out whether they've got a plan B or not. You know, they should have had, you know, because you can never be certain, even though you're speaking to a potential candidate, that he's going to come. I would hope that their plan B will be in place and that we'll quite soon find that they've got someone in mind.
This is Red Friday time now for the predictor, and last week's scores, Andrew, you and me did hopelessly as ever, 2 points each. Dave G, you managed to get 5, and the Red Army as ever. These assorted representatives, including children and animals, they got 7. So the scores, Andrew, you're still bottom with 56. I've got 59. Dave, you've got 64. Red Army way out on top with 74. Kenneth Stewart is the Red Army's predictor this week. We'll hear from Kenneth very shortly. But first of all, Dave, Aberdeen against Kilmarnock.
I take Aberdeen to bounce back tomorrow, 2-0.
Andrew.
I'm agreeing with that, 2-0, but it's going to be a tough one.
I've gone 3-0. Andrew, Celtic against Hibs.
Well, Hibs gave Celtic an almighty fright at Celtic Park earlier on in the season, but their form has shaded, and they were knocked out of the cup last weekend by Hearts, bounced back against Dundee, but I don't think they'll have enough firepower to trouble Celtic. A narrow win for Celtic, 2-1.
Dave?
I'm going to go one bigger for a winning margin, 3-1 Celtic.
I've gone 3-1 Celtic as well. Hamilton Dundee, Dave?
An interesting one. The Dark Blues, of course, smarting after the aforementioned midweek home defeat to Hibs. Accies have won the last four meetings with Dundee, but I'm taking Neil McCann's men to get a little bit of revenge, 1-0.
Andrew?
So says the man from Tayside. I'm going to go with the form book, Hamilton to win 3-1.
I've gone 1-1. Andrew's staying with you. Hearts at home to Motherwell.
Well, Hearts, they're not pretty to watch, but they're getting results. They got a 3-0 against Hamilton midweek. They're not conceding goals. Motherwell as well have started to show a wee bit of decent form, but I think home advantage will shade it. Hearts to win 1-0 in a game that is instantly forgettable.
Yeah, Dave?
I would probably go along with that. But I'll go for 2-0 Hearts.
I've gone 2-0 as well. And Dave, St Johnston, Partick.
Well, Saints with two draws and a defeat in the last three games, and incredibly they've not played a competitive football match since December the 30th due to the wintry weather, but they'll get a much needed narrow win, 1-0 for me.
Andrew?
I think because they haven't played football for so long, it's going to be a wee bit tighter. I'm going to go 1-1.
I've gone 1-1 as well. And the Sunday game, Andrew, is up in Dingwall, Ross County against Rangers.
You know who will want to win the game, but unfortunately you've got to be a wee bit more pragmatic, and I think Rangers will win that one 3-1.
Dave?
I'm going to go 4-1 Rangers.
I've gone 3-1 Rangers. So that's our predictions. Let's get the views of the Red Army this week from Kenneth Stewart.
OK, Kenneth, let's start. Okay. Aberdeen against Kilmarnock.
2-1 Aberdeen.
Celtic v Hibs.
2-0 Celtic.
Hamilton against Dundee.
1-1.
Hearts take on Motherwell. How's that going to go? What's the score like?
Hearts on a good run. I'll say 2-1 Hearts.
Okay, St Johnston versus Partick Thistle.
1-1.
And finally on Sunday, Ross County Rangers.
2-1 Rangers.
Is it your heart says something, your head says the other?
The head says, yeah, I hope Rangers got a doing, but I don't think it'll happen.
Yes, well said, Kenneth. Andrew, the Highlands, it's cup action this weekend.
Yeah, top game is the Morrison Motors Aberdeenshire Shield semi-final being played at the Hawks and Turriff between Turriff United and Cove Rangers. The Breeden Highland League Cup starts, and there are half a dozen games in the Highland League itself.
Well, hopefully the juniors will see a lot of games being played for the first time in many, many weeks. The highlights, McBookie.com Super League, Banksiddy at home to Dyche Juniors. D now 16 points clear, and well done to them in that 7-0 Aberdeenshire Shield victory over Deverin Vale midweek. And otherwise, the McLemon Cup first round, Hall Russell United against Stonehaven catches the eye. And of course, that's it on the Red Friday podcast. Thanks for checking us out. Remember, we're on North Sound 1 from 6:30 to 7 o'clock every Friday, and the podcast is available both on the website and on iTunes.
It's North Sound 1's Red Friday.